live, pre-recorded actually today, from the fabulous Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Welcome back, everybody. Of course, I'm all scatterbrained as usual. This is episode 72. Very proud to say. Remember, since Sammy set up a great phone number, it's 323-300-4092. That's 323-300-4092. Nobody's calling, but feel free to call with questions, comments, et cetera. Before I forget, I want to say that the Bob Dean Show, yay, speaking only for myself and nobody else in this room, I do know does not support Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they're crooks. Or the billing department at Tower Urology, because they just are just not nice people. Anyway, that being said, I want to say hello to Cinda Kronquist, the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard in beautiful Persian Westwood. The LA School of Comedy is, I'm plugging it because we did a show, this is Alexander, we're going to talk more in just a minute, with the LA School of Comedy, Hella Faces of New Comedy group, and we killed it at the Comedy Union on Pico. We're going to get into that a little bit more later. But thank you, Cinda. To my brother, Greg. Hey, Greg. In Vietnam, who was going to do a call-in with us, but it's 4 a.m. there, so he's going to get with us and tell us all about Asia and eating slugs the next time we're on. Sammy Junio is here. Hello, Sammy.
Hey.
Of course, hey, Zach Herndon.
Hey, Zach.
I'm going to get with you about how to manipulate how to work my own website, so I don't have to bother you with that anymore. We miss you. Dennis Olson, and we have Alex, Sandra, and Jenny Shamash well as our guests today. Welcome, ladies. Yay.
Thank you.
Let's see. Before we get started again, I want to mention that Alex did her first set at the Comedy Union on Pico Friday night. You nailed it. I want to say thank you to S. Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell, the owner, it's my first time in your club, and it's friggin' great. It's got all the room. It's fantastic. The stage is great.
Oh, yeah.
You can see, what I love is you can see the audience.
Yeah.
And I met Deborah, your assistant. She was great. And your staff, I'm telling you what.
Amazing.
Amazing. Just from, when I say amazing, couldn't be more polite. I've been in this business for 36 years. And the way that they were just busy as crap, and us comics where it says don't cluster right here, we did. And those right. girls, if it would have been me or Nikki or anybody else, I would have been like, get that beep out of my way with my foot. The girls were friggin' awesome and on it.
Yes.
And it was a great experience, and I hope you'll have us back sometime.
Absolutely.
Let's see if there's anything else. I don't think so. Now let's get to the ladies here. We didn't have a whole lot of time to chat with Jenny. And there's a whole lot of stuff I don't know about my friend Alex, so we're just going to turn the floor over to you guys. Jenny Shamash?
Yeah.
I'll say, Shamash? Great.
That's perfect. You know.
Now, Sammy is your good friend and has given me a little briefing on that you are into.
That's smooth, Sammy.
Thank you very much.
I know. Don't get water on the. Oh, look, Sammy, I bought the really good water today with electrolytes, but we can't promote it. Alex, you are a director, producer, writer of performance art. Just tell us what's going on. What do you do?
So I am a producer of all kinds of performance art. My background is mostly in traditional theater. I started out as a company manager and then became a general manager and then started producing as well. And then sort of broadened my horizons and have been doing dance and weird performance art and some visual art. And now I'm working with a comedian.
The comedian being, can you mention their name?
I can. Her name's Hannah Gadsby. So I'm producing her new world tour of her show called Douglas. We just had our first stop in the U.S. in San Francisco last week, which is very exciting.
Well, congratulations to you
so
and to Hannah. I'd love to meet you sometime if you're in town.
Yeah.
Bring her on the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
But no, I wish you guys much success and break
Thank
a leg.
Thank you so much.
Now, you were talking before, you guys are on tour right now, so you're based in L.A. for a little while. Is she performing here anywhere?
She will be performing here at the Ace Hotel in July.
In July?
Yeah,
so please keep us posted.
I will, definitely.
Love
yeah,
to come
July
and see.
12th and 13th.
Excellent. Excellent. That'd well, you can promote me a little bit while you're out there. And
you got it.
Budget's limited, but I'm saying. Well, that's terrific. Now, you were just telling us that you're originally from Northern California.
I am, yes. I was born in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And then lived in a little suburb called Orinda which is teeny tiny and known for its large old-fashioned movie theater sign.
Oh, cool.
Just all that anyone knows, because that's what you see when you drive by it on the highway. And yeah, and now my mom lives in Berkeley in the house where she grew up in the Berkeley Hills, and my dad is still in Rockridge, which is the neighborhood in Oakland where I was born.
Oh, cool. But your mom's in the house she grew up in?
She is.
How fabulous
is
that?
It's really
sweet. Has it always been in the family, or did she buy it back at some point?
No, it's always been in the family. They rented it out for a little bit after my grandmother passed away, but then a few years later, my mom moved back in there.
Your mom's name is?
Her name's Winnie.
Winnie. Hi, Winnie. Yeah. I'm Bob Dean. And when Dennis and I make our way up there, we're going to pop in and see you.
Yeah, I offered them a space in your house, Mom.
Well, it doesn't mean we're going to stay, but I would just like to see the view
it's
and everything.
I just want to feed the chickens.
She just got a new swarm of bees and named the Queen Hannah after Hannah Gadsby. Oh,
how fabulous
is
that?
The Queen Bee Hannah up in
Berkeley. Man, bees, you know, we were just watching, what was that movie we saw? Where the little girl was learning how to work with the bees and all that. And I, myself, I'm terrified of them because as a child, at probably the age of 11, I stepped in a hive.
Oh, yikes.
Out in the woods. And, I stepped on a log and went right down into it. So it was a swarm situation, and I haven't really been able to get over that.
Well, that's totally understandable.
But I understand that they're just the most, as long as you don't piss them off, they're the most gentle creatures. And
they are. I mean, I actually got stung by one the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
At your mom's or just by in general?
No, at my mom's. She was opening up the hive to show Hannah, and I did not have the full suit on, but was standing maybe 20 feet away, and she pissed them off, and they swarmed, and one came over and stung my hand.
Yikes.
It's all right.
Well, I was at my apartment, my dingy bachelor pad, there was a hive that built into the wall right next to my bedroom window. And for about 3 years, it's this very small, older building, but the people that live in the apartment on the other side had taken pictures. Mm. I was parking the car, and the guy comes out, and in urban living, he's like, "Hey, do you live in that apartment?" I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "A swarm moved in today," and he had all these pictures, and I've got them somewhere on my computer. But the whole wall—I mean, you know how they all come in at once—and they went in through a light fixture, and at the end, the hive was about 8 by 4 into the wall, and but the deal was is that when in the morning. And in the afternoon, when they'd start coming back, you could stand right. The entrance of the hive was like 6 inches from my bedroom window. Oh, so you could stand there, and it was just like being inside the hive.
That's crazy.
It was crazy cool. And then we discussed it with the neighbors, and we were like, "Let's just let it leave them alone. They're not hurting anybody, blah, blah, blah." Wow. But one morning, thank God, I had a 6 a.m. call time. So I got up at 4. The bathroom had bees. I don't know how they got in, but they were flying. That's my phone. I'm sorry. I know. Sammy's like, "Turn that fucking thing off." But they had gotten, I don't know how they got in, but the bathroom was full of bees, and they were flying in a circle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well.
Well, the thing about it is that I have animals, and, even if they're Africanized, I think most hives are probably Africanized now, aren't they?
Probably.
Yeah. The point is that they had to have them come and get rid of the hive. And that's how I know how big it was on the inside, because when they cut it out of the wall. So they smoked them out, though. They didn't kill them or whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, that's enough good. About bees.
So what kind of lease agreement did they have? Because you said they moved in.
The bees moved in. It was a bee tenant, in Los Angeles.
Tenants' rights.
Tenants' rights.
With their bags and clothes.
Yeah.
The way you announced it, I was like, wow. Obviously, it wasn't scheduled.
No, I don't know. I guess they send out little, headhunters and find space.
It's a scary thing because that happened to us. We had bees as well. Bumblebees, actually. It was a huge heat wave, and somehow they found a hole in the laundry room from outside, and they all came in. But I didn't know that. We'd been away. We came back, and there were a swarm of bees that were dead because they couldn't get back out. And if they can't feed, they die.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
So, don't we all?
Hundreds of bees that were dead. So, yeah. It's, karma, because one bit me in my ear when I was a kid. So, comes back.
Well, anyway, we love our bees. Maybe I'll meet Anna. Okay, so Alex, what's your story? Now, we've done some classes together and some open mics at the LA School of Comedy, 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard. But it's been a while since I've seen you. Years?
Yeah, it's been two and a half.
Really?
Months. Yeah, my mom was ill, so.
Oh, yeah, how's she doing?
She's doing much better now. So I decided to drop everything for mom.
Of course.
So she has Graves' disease, and she had advanced Graves' disease because it took a while to find out what it was. She kept getting misdiagnosed.
What is your mom's name?
Alexandrine. So.
Hello, Alexandrine, and we wish you a speedy recovery. What is Graves' disease?
Graves' disease is it's an autoimmune disease that attacks your thyroid. And what happens is she also has the eye disease because you have thyroids behind her eyes. And so they attack those as well. And so she has hyperthyroidism. And so she lost a lot of weight in a very small amount of time. She was like 119 pounds. And she also, you know, was trembling and had a lot of attitude. That was hard to deal with. Yeah. So.
But it's because it's not her.
It's not her. Yeah, I had to keep reminding myself that it was not her, even though I was like, you know, I'd let everything go, because I'm also a singer, and I'd let everything go for my mother, which I don't regret.
Of course
but
not.
It was very hard to have a woman who's fiercely independent finally realize that she can't do things on her own and she can't pay her own bills. That's how we really found out. Like, she stopped paying her bills because she couldn't remember that, you know, things were going wrong.
And where is she? Is she in New York?
She's in New York.
In New York, yeah. Because your family, you and your mom, and came from Canada.
Yeah, we came from Canada.
From Quebec.
Quebec. Oui, Quebec.
And at what point that's when you were just a kid? Because in your act, you talk about learning English. And
actually, I was there for most of my life until about 17. And we came out here because, you know, I was underage. I didn't want to go. But we came to the United States of America. When I came to New York, it was an eye-opener for me because it was definitely a culture shock. Because, you know, I grew up speaking French, going to school in French, and that's the official language of where I'm from. And so English was something that I was really passionate about and I really wanted to learn. And then when I got here, I was like, oh, what's the point of learning English? Because everybody speaks their own thing out there.
Their own dialect.
And I couldn't understand.
Can you give us a little example of some of your friends in New York City?
You know, the people that are, like, it's such an eclectic mix of people. You know, Maritza, it's like, oh, my God, how you doing? It's so cool that you're from Canada. You know, they got igloos over there because that, you know, is that where you live? Because that'd be crazy, right, if you live in an igloo. And I'm like, no, they have regular houses there. So, you know, and she's special because, you know, we had a government shutdown, you know, the other day. And she was like, oh, my God, I was going through Facebook and the government shut down. I was crazy, right? Because let me tell you, I was not going to send the kids to school because that meant I had to make lunches. No free lunches. I was like, you kids ain't going to school for the week. Forget that. I ain't making no lunches. You're going to grandma's. So that's who I ran into when I was out there. So.
Now, and Jenny, now your home base is the city, right? New York?
My home base, yeah, has been New York, which I think feels like home at this point. Mm-hmm. So in between tour stops, we come back to L.A., but I think we'll end up settling back in New York.
Well, as continental as I appear, I'm not very well traveled. I haven't been to Manhattan since I was a kid.
Oh, my gosh.
And you guys, you need to, seriously, do you Facebook?
I sure do.
Okay, well, you need to friend me because I've got cool friends all over the city. Oh, my friend Johnny Walker, who's been a guest on The Bob Dean Show, yay, is an author of the Echo Mystery Series. And my friends Mike and Colleen DeGregory, they live in the city, and they're just the coolest couple ever. And ex-restaurateurs, and now they just hang out and go to shows and that sort of thing.
Oh,
they're
fabulous.
Really cool. My friend Sean Striegel is the producer of that show Forged in Fire.
Nice.
Yeah.
And these awesome.
So, you know, and it's so weird, too. I always say this all the time. For being such an asshole, I've got wonderful friends.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know
how you know me. But, yeah, so maybe you guys can.
I would love that. That would be so great.
And I was planning on going in October for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But then the dentist said, you need to spend that $5,000 in your mouth.
Oh, no.
What's wrong with your teeth?
I'm old. That's what's wrong. Always flossed, always brushed, but you know.
But you always grind your teeth, too.
I know.
Oh,
constantly.
He's a grinder.
I'm a grinder.
Do you
constantly.
Wear a guard?
No.
Oh, if you wear a guard, that'll hurt.
Well, let's not get on about that. Anyway, so the point is, I'd like to get to visit sometime, you know. But
you
so
should.
The performance art, that involves a lot of, I have a couple people that I'm not really, I have kind of lost touch with, but I remember them saying that they used to love to go to these shows where it was like in an old building and you go from room to room.
Yeah. Immersive theater. There's a big kind of, I don't know, influx is not the right word, but immersive theater is really thriving in the city right now and has been for the last few years. So there's a lot of innovative work that people are doing, taking over these found spaces. I worked on a show the last few years that was an immersive adaptation of a James Joyce short story. And the story was about these two old aunties who lived in Dublin in the early 1900s, and they would throw an annual holiday party for their friends, and they had all of these like fun, funny, drunk Irish people come in, and it was this kind of story that unfolded. So we took over this lovely Victorian mansion on the Upper East Side and brought all the audience members in, and they were greeted as guests at this party. Mm-hmm. So we brought them in, and there was dancing and music, and then we served the full meal out of the story. So everyone could eat and drink and kind of be merry with these characters and see this house. And
that's really so cool.
That looks it a true Victorian meal? Or?
It was based on everything that was in the novel. So we had a roast turkey, we had roast beef, we had ham, we had floury mashed potatoes, which I learned way too much about, which was a very specific kind of Irish potato.
Oh, wow.
And green beans and cranberry sauce and bread pudding, just kind of all bread to pudding. The
well, that's pretty extravagant. Was it like a once a week production?
We did 7 shows a week.
Seven?
Yeah,
who did all the cooking?
8 weeks. We had a catering company called Great Performances, which was a really sensational company that does a lot of work for performance arts companies.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah,
that's a big budget, too.
It was not a small budget.
Yeah, big budget affair.
Yeah, the tickets were quite expensive just sort of to help make up the cost of the show.
Well, you know, period costumes.
Period costumes, perfect. Yeah, built that's for great. The show. We had Leon Dubkowski was our costume designer, who's absolutely sensational and just designed every stitch.
I would have went to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll do it again this year. You guys should come over and see it. It's
you're
really
a period
fun.
Piece yourself, you Fidel Castro-looking mother.
That's like a low-tech version of like virtual reality.
It's a funny way to just step in.
Well, I've talked about this a million times, so I know Dennis and Sammy especially are tired of hearing about it because I would love to do more theater. But it's just a matter of being a bartender working at night, blah, blah, blah. It's just too hard to do. But yeah. I was involved in a play called a Big Gay North Hollywood Wedding, and it was an interactive play like that.
Oh, how fun.
And it was great. We had such a good time. And it was funny because we were watching Modern Family. I don't know if you've ever seen the episode where they go to, it's like a high school reunion thing. And I don't want to, it's friggin' hilarious. and Cameron, you know, the big guy takes Mitchell, his redheaded husband, and the redhead's like, I hate this shit, I hate this shit, I hate this shit. And then something happens to really, you know. But I don't know, I love it. And I'd love to do more theater. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a really good time.
I mean, that's where I started. So.
Yes, well, tell us about that. You started in New York?
Oh, no, I started in Canada. I started in Montreal. You know, 14 years old, just wanting to do theater, French theater. It was mostly like, I think you guys call it théâtre.
What is it in French?
I don't want to say it, but it was Théâtre des Mille Visages, which was it's based on method pretty much, but I didn't stay in that. I went into Meisner. But that was pretty much how I started. We were doing a lot of classical theater and French theater. And then I ventured into English because, you know, that was my goal. Because at the time I was like, okay, I'm an Anglophile. And then I turned into really obsessed with the English language because it's one of those things where you're told not to do it. Because in Quebec, it's like anywhere you go, if you speak English, at the time there was like really everyone wanted to do like this whole secession thing. So people were like, you need to speak English. This is a French province. And so I was more obsessed with the English language and I wanted to learn it. So I became like an Anglophiliac because it was all about the English language. And so I went to, you know, English theater and I never looked back. And that's it. And so I learned more and more. And then when I went to New York, I wanted to learn more about the culture. And so I kind of adopted different ways that people spoke. I mean, when people were saying things like, hey, use people, how you doing? And I was like, what? Use people? Like, I spent all this time learning English from, like, textbooks. You get, hey, use people, how you doing? What's going on? And I was like, oh, wow. So, yeah. It was.
Well, just always remember, in Southern, bless your heart means fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah, the South is interesting.
Yeah. I grew up in the South. I'm from Philadelphia, but we were damn Yankees because we moved to Nashville.
Nashville.
When I was 12, just going on 13. Nashville, Tennessee. And back then, Nashville was a very teeny tiny little southern town. Like it's
Everybody's friendly in the South.
That's what I mean. You. That's what I'm saying. Would you, yeah. But when they say, bless your heart, that means go to hell. Oh, Alex, you're so special. Bless your heart. It means good. Unless you're under 7 years old or over 65, then it really means bless your heart. Oh, but so what projects are you involved in yourself now? When did you, so you've been taking care of your mom, bless you.
Yeah, so I'm literally just getting back to doing stuff. So,
and you've been back in town for how long?
About 2 months.
Oh, you really are just fresh. That's why I haven't seen you.
Well, yeah, you made an explosive entrance fresh. Friday night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, your first time on the stage, and, you know, we all know how tough it is. But their first time doing, because everybody's like stand-up comedy. So I've got many seasoned friends, theater, television, you know, et cetera. And they're like, it's the hardest, you know, it's terrifying. Oh, yeah. And it's easy as pie for me, and I guess it's because I've been behind the bar for so many years, and it's basically the same thing, yeah, you know? And that's where I'm getting a little, I think I was getting
talking
a little rusty because...
Except no alcohol.
But I've had a couple months off because the restaurant is relocating. Wolfgang Steak is by Wolfgang's Wiener. I hope he'll open up soon or something. But at any rate, that's where I would work on material, new lines. You know, okay. I just, you know, work it into the conversation. If people laughed, then I'd be over there going. Right there.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of fun. But yeah, you for your first time on this, you were terrified in the back.
I had no clue what was going to happen.
And on top of everything else, I happened to be glancing at you when you were sitting down talking to Jeff. I think it was Jeff.
Yes, it was Jeff.
Okay,
yeah.
And something dripped on your head.
There was like something.
and we were in this, ladies and gentlemen, the Comedy Union is, it's a friggin' awesome space.
Yeah.
But it's in a really, really old building, in, you know, like in like outside of Hancock Park in Los Angeles. But anyway, there's an additional back part that used to be, so the ceiling's really, really high.
Yeah.
And she was just, you know, and I happened to be glancing your way, and you, all of a sudden you jumped about 4 feet in the air, and you go, something just dripped on me!
No, because you don't know what it is. You're thinking about, it could be slime, it could be anything.
It could be a bug.
Whatever. And I don't need this right now. Too many variables. Like, I have to go on stage, and I don't know what's going to happen. So I was scared.
I feel like that happens a lot walking around in New York City, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, it could be an air conditioner or a body, too,
right.
You know?
Oh, that happens, yeah. As soon as you walk over, you get a lot of dripping. But you don't know if it's going to be, like, a pigeon or water. See, these are things I wasn't sure at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you would have been feeling the same way. It's kind of gross.
Oh, but it was hilarious. So you jumped about 4 feet. You literally did.
I got up and I said, oh, no, something just dripped off me. And I just moved to the other side.
You were just, you know, and we've said it about 10 times already. But honestly, humbly, I know you're, but you were just great.
It's my adrenaline. I found out.
Absolutely. But didn't you feel great adrenaline. Once you were up there and it started?
Once
you started getting
there,
a couple laughs? It's the best high in the whole wide world.
Nothing. It's I'm not even aware. There's no fear. It's one of those things. And before I get on, I'm not afraid. Because I found that out at one point, that it was really just a lot of adrenaline. So now what I do is I try to work out, like, right before. I know it doesn't look like it. I try to do something to sort of get me, like, get all that energy out. And afterwards, I have to get all that energy out. Because it happens right off stage. So right before I get on stage and right after I get off stage, it's the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it wasn't fear because I've just done the show. So it's all about getting rid of that adrenaline and then sort of finding a place to put it. Yeah.
Well, I bombed so bad at the Ha Ha Club about...
No way.
Oh, my God.
I
literally... And there were these three African-American women in the front row. And I never... I enjoy hecklers most of the time. But I was like, you know what? I'm done. And I just... I was so... I really, really, really... I was exhausted. My excuse is I really was exhausted. And it was like a three-hour show. And I was one of the last people to go up. And I really bombed.
But what do you think made it that you bombed?
I just didn't put my heart. I was exhausted, and I made the mistake of having a drink.
Because
I love to drink, but never, ever, ever, ever. I know, yeah. And because the very first show I ever did, like 12 years ago, at the Belly Room, at the Comedy Store, I was like, oh, I have to be drunk, and you know, and I got a lot of laughs, but still, I felt so bad about myself. And you know, I never drink.
Okay.
And I also like to leave. And when I love it when my friends come to the show or when the audience laughs and all that sort of thing. But for some reason, I'm so wound up. I just want to get away. Because, you know, people want to wish you well and shake your hand and that sort of thing. And God, don't think for one, you know, New York minute that I don't appreciate it. And I'm glad that people, you know, like my set.
Right.
But for some reason in my head, I just want to get away from everybody for at least a half an hour, 45 minutes to just decompress. Because all you're doing is going, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
But I did have this one. I've had two people. The black guy that came up to me, because I did my thing about the. Well, I don't want to spoil it because I went to Mac, but there's a part where I talk about the lady in the supermarket, friggin' rude to me.
Right.
And he's an African American comedian, and he's pretty well known. And he came up. This is when we did a set at Bar Lubitsch about a month, Rip 2 months ago, and he came up and I thought he was going to shake my hand and go, "Nice set." And he shook my hand and he goes, "I didn't think that was funny at all."
What?
And he was whispering it to me, and I go, "It's comedy, man."
Right.
And he goes, because he thought I was making fun of the African American women all over, for everything, and it was just that one bitch in the supermarket that was so mean. But then once when I was doing a set about this was at the comedy of the Laugh Factory about 4 years ago, and I was talking to Erwin Moskowitz. Hi, Erwin, my good friend who in the play, Big Gay Hollywood Wedding, he played the father. He was another character. He's this short, handsome Jewish man. And I'm a tall, hairy, white man of privilege. And there's a scene in the play where we really got to get into a fist fight. And we loved it every week because that we take out our aggressions. And we're very, very good friends. The point is that I was standing there talking to Erwin, and the room was packed. And I see this really pretty girl, maybe 20 years old. And I did this. I made a comment about how, how are we supposed to afford a place to live when the Chinese and the Persians are buying up every piece of land? Yes, you can. And this is what happened. I was talking in the set, and I'm like, what are we supposed to do when the Chinese and the Persians are buying everything up in cash under our noses? I was talking about politically why we're bitching about the wall and this sort of thing when the underlying, I'm not going to get political. But so this very attractive girl comes up, and she goes, hello. And I thought she, was going to be, and she goes, I just want to let you know that you weren't funny at all. And I was like, I beg your pardon? And I said, well, specifically, what did you find offensive? And she goes, well, first of all, the Persians and the Chinese are not buying up. And I snapped. It's like sort of when I'm driving. And I go, it's fact. Look it up. It's called flash buying. And furthermore, and just like the woman, and I go, and furthermore. And Erwin goes, Bob. Because the girl was like,
wow.
He had to be there. But
it happened to me. Look, when... sometimes I'll say certain things and people will say, and I've experimented because I'm from Canada and from Quebec, and honestly the vernacular is a little bit different, and people in New York use the N-word all the time, and so because I over enunciate the N-word comes out like so it's like N-er instead of N-A. Right? And or whatever it is. And so I've had white people come up to me and be like, I'm offended by the N-word. And I'm like, you're offended.
Really?
Yes.
Imagine that.
And if I do something, if I say something about even black people or something like that, invariably someone will say something like, you're offensive. And it doesn't matter if you're black and you're talking about black people, if you're anything, it's just anything that has to do with race or socioeconomic issues at this time is like a hot button.
Taboo.
Yeah, it's super taboo. And then we've lost, I feel, this sense of humor about everything. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, and that's what's
too easily offended.
Have you ever done comedy in any, like on stage or...
I have never performed, period.
So smart.
Stop.
So smart.
That's never...
Have you ever wanted to?
No.
I've
always really enjoyed.
You're the daughter
my
mom has always wanted.
Well,
this sort of,
Yeah. Well, a lot of people would rather be behind, behind the scenes on
mind,
it. Yeah.
But not.
I would never.
Well, you do the hard work. Like she does the hard work. I'm like, I enjoy doing the show, episode 72 of the Bob Bean Show. Yay!
Right.
But when it comes, I'm just like, we have fun back here with everybody. But then I'm like, you do it. Well, because I don't know how to work computers. You guys, then they can attest to this. I was having a friggin' breakdown at the parking meter because these parking meter, Los Angeles, everything's metered, but these lots where you pick the number and then you go to the little box and you put in the space and you don't know whether you're supposed to wait 15 seconds or wait till the screen tells you what to do, and then you put your card in but you don't pull it out quick enough, and then I didn't press the right button. And I'm standing there and I'm
Is that the one at the comedy store that wasn't even working?
No, the one right
just
outside
right
here.
Okay. 20 minutes ago.
And I'm literally screaming out loud, and Liz walks behind. She's like, just take a breath. And she goes, beep, 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 and ta-da. Seriously, 3 seconds.
Yeah, I was
she goes, tee,
tee,
tee, tee. And she's like, you're all set. And I was like,
girl power.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Miss me too. But so anyway, the point of me going on about that is I've tried to sit down in front of the computer and do things, and I get 5 seconds into it. And I mean, whenever it says enter a password, I want to take a butcher knife to my Apple desktop laptop. Chinka chinka.
Oh,
so anyway,
I mean, that's fair.
I don't like computer. I love sitting behind the microphone with my friends.
Only half of them are in his password book.
Create a new password. Like when you press something in, I'm like, oh my gosh, I made up that password like 7 years ago. Screw you.
No, now they'll tell you, please don't use that password again.
Well, what is it when it comes up and it goes, you suggested password XYJK, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no, because my password to everything is, well, I have, no, I'm not going to get, I was just getting ready to tell everybody my fucking password. But no, because you'll never figure it out, though, because I put a couple of 1, 2, 3, I put a couple of 1, 2, 3s and an exclamation point and an asterisk, what's it called? Ampersand. You know, I throw a couple of those in there every now and then. And then I'm like, did I put a capital O in there?
Do you save your password somewhere?
Sometimes, no. I mean, I don't know. Well, let's change the subject to password. You know what password is? Password was a friggin' awesome game show in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Password. You remember that?
I do.
You can watch it on the Game Show Network now. It's like, where the, you know, there's like two, like Betty White and some lady from Schenectady and you know, Paul Lynde and some guy. And they're like, and the password is fountain. And I'm like, water.
Oh.
And you go, and I'm like, you know, sky.
So it's
you have
charades.
To use one word at a time. It was an intelligent, fun game show.
Like the pyramid game a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even know if they still have.
Americans are so clever.
Sometimes.
Go America. USA. Seriously.
Oh,
wow. That's what I did when I said Canadian. I have a really good friend who's from Toronto. Tracy Badachka, if you're listening, Tracy and her husband Paul Deacon.
Yeah, that's where Drake's from.
But it was in a kind of a semi-formal situation, and I'm like, well, this is my friend Tracy Badachka. She just moved here from Canada, and I said Canada, and she just looked at me and she started laughing, and the other people were like, what a moron!
What a Canadian!
I'm like, well, I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Tennessee.
Easily been that. If you think about it,
it makes it sound really exotic.
Canada, yeah.
Because we have Acadians who are Canadians, but they're from like New Brunswick. So.
And we have a local place called Arcadia.
Oh. Arcadia. Yeah.
Well, and there's Acadia National Forest right in Maine just below.
Oh, I can't.
Ah, see, there's a lot of reasons why I said Canada.
You're not alone. I think it's the English language. The English language is super unpredictable, so it's sometimes hard. Because when I learned it through reading, and so I'm now figuring out certain words aren't said the way that I thought they were supposed to be said. Yeah,
like which ones?
Like, Ari.
Ari, my friend at the car wash.
No, but I thought it was Ari. I was like, oh, things have gone Ari between me and my friend. And it's Ari. No idea.
Did not actually know what you were saying.
And Ari is also a loaf of bread that you buy in a delicatessen.
There you go. I just recently found out it was Ari.
So I'm naming my daughter Aria with the Ari in the front.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to change the subject for a minute. What, you know, binge, you know, Netflix has so many great shows, and we're really, really sorry to say goodbye to The Unsinkable, Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, God.
The Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt. Did you guys see it?
I saw the first season.
You either love it or you hate it, and we, you know, we had to keep rewinding it because we'd laugh so hard, because the lines are so quick, but we binge watched it to the very last episode, so we started watching
Dead to Me.
Incredible.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you what. Listen, audience. Dead to Me, Christina Applegate, who I've always loved anyway.
Love her.
And I can't remember Jenny, who plays Judy. She's in Italian. And there's billboards all over Sunset Boulevard about it. We just happened to just, I'm like, let's click. We clicked on that. And let me tell you something. Turn off your friggin' phone. Put on your jammies and make a big bowl of popcorn or order a pizza and get it all done and don't be interrupted because it is friggin' great.
What is it about?
And it's about, you know, Christine Applegate plays a wife, mother / realtor, mm-hmm. and her husband is dies suddenly.
He gets hit by a car.
Well, oh. I was not trying to, you know. But you from the very beginning. But, come on, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or anything, but that's why, you know, just let me do something. And then she meets another woman, and they become really close friends. And it's a suburban setting. You know, Christine Applegate, and, you know, she's got a beautiful home and a couple of sons and this and that. And it's like the thing that could happen. It's a very unfortunate situation. She befriends this woman. And it just starts off like that, and it involves these other characters, and it's a great the first episode, the twist at the end, you're just like, and we binge watched the whole first season.
Like that.
We watched like 6 episodes the night before last, and then yesterday afternoon we watched the rest. And when it was, you know, the cliffhanger, remember how cliffhangers used to be in network TV, and now they just kind of all done. These are like honest to God great cliffhangers to where you're like, I cannot, like the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The greatest comedy ever. Have you ever watched that?
I haven't.
Oh, you have to.
I know. I'm out of the loop on
it's
that
on
one.
My list of.
Well, that's just it. I watch more friggin' reruns of, like, I can quote you anything from The Golden Girls or Designing Women.
Oh, my God. I got into The Golden Girls.
Best show ever.
I watched The Golden Girls a lot when I was, like, homesick as a kid because it would be on it the afternoon. It was great.
Well, I remember when my parents, Bob and Stella, when I moved back from Miami the first time, and I was living at home for a while. It was the craziest thing because, like, on Saturday night, I was like 25, and the Golden Girls was on, like, I think it's like, and Saturday nights I would stay home and watch the Golden Girls with my folks.
Aww.
And we would laugh our asses off, and then I'd be like, later, and then I was out clubbing, boom, boom, boom. But I never, and then the next day, or when Golden Girls was on Saturday, but I would wake up, this is back when I was a hardcore partier, ladies and gentlemen, but I would get up on Saturday mornings, bloodshot eyes, and literally drag myself to the television to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse. You know,
That's so cute.
Yeah, The Golden Girls is a great show if you've never watched it. And you know what else is another great, well-written show from back then is Designing Women.
I haven't seen that.
Are you familiar with it?
No.
Oh my God! It was on for like eight seasons. Oh, it's about four women in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And
Delta Burke is like the most awesome.
It's about these four women who are, and Delta Burke and her sister Suzanne. Yeah. Delta Burke's like this beautiful woman. She's deceased now, and she has a design firm that she runs out of her her Victorian home. And then her sister Suzanne, who's played by Delta Burke, Dixie Carter. Suzanne.
Yeah.
She's still around. But Delta Burke was very slender and beautiful at the time. But her character evolves into being more of a full-figured gal in there. And it's a brilliant show. And then Annie Potts, who's in everything now, plays Mary Jo. And then Jean Smart, who is a character actress who is brilliant. But it's a great program. And it's comedy, but it deals with a lot of political issues at the time and social issues at the time. But it's just a very well-written show.
Awesome.
So check it out.
I discovered all of these things recently on YouTube. Like, because, you know, in Quebec, some of the things, you just don't get everything. And so I've been able to sort of figure out, like, a lot of stuff in the United States based on these shows. So when you watch Golden Girls, then YouTube will suggest other things. And I got Designing Women.
Designing Women.
And, oh, my God. And the Jeffersons and All in the Family.
God. See, those shows.
I got to watch that. Classics. That's so
awesome.
Let me
tell you something. This is what I was talking about, too, is that those are all Norman Lear comedies from the 70s. And it's painful. I'm sorry. You know, I want to be an actor and I will do anything for a buck. Like Modern Family, I find to be, and all these shows I've only caught, I'm catching up with
now. We have
syndicated reruns, and they're awful. I'm sorry, I'm only speaking for myself. But Two Broke Girls and The Middle and Blackish.
The Middle? What's wrong with The Middle?
They're just,
you like to milk them in The Middle.
What?
I didn't even get that one.
Malcolm in the Middle.
But I mean, I liked all the people that were in the show, but I don't know. There's something about the writing. It's just, I think it's kind of a dumbing down situation.
It does feel like it's becoming less
it's
and less
everybody, you know, everybody hates Christians. Everybody hates school. Raymond. Everybody hates this and that. You know, it's like a bitter message, I think. But the point of going on about that, it's All in the Family opened the door for so many things. Right. And you could never do so, but the Jeffersons and Good Times, they were all spinoffs from All in the Family. And Maude, you ever watched Maude?
Oh my God, I discovered Maude.
See, those were all shows from the mid-70s when I was growing up, and they were comedies, but they came right out and talked about things like integration and the cost of living, you know, how, and they made it comical, but it was also talking about like food prices and you know, and you know, Republican gas, everything. It brought what current events into view, you know,
and And another thing it did that I noticed, especially when I watched Maude, it actually highlighted how people were so insulated in terms of living in the suburbs, knowing what everyone else, especially, you know, Black people. And so it was really fun to see her interact with Black people.
Well, you know, because in the first few seasons, really her maid was Florida. Who was the mom on Good Times? That was a spinoff. And Florida took no shit off of Mrs. Finley, off Maude. And Maude's, you know, B. Arthur was like, you know, I'm for integration, and I, you know, this and that. And Florida be like, girl, you don't know what you're talking about.
She's like, I just want to go home and go to my family. Yeah, I'm not even involved.
But they're just great. They're great comedies.
Maude, I found out from All in the Family. She did an episode when they got sick, so it was really cool.
Oh, that was hilarious when they were all sick and Archie
That's
hated Maude.
I was like, I want to know this one.
Maudie's here.
Oh, good.
Okay, we're down to our last 10 minutes, so would you like to play some of our game?
Yeah.
Okay, Dennis is going to, quietly, because I love his intro. What time is it, Dennis?
It's time for Just Jump.
Bless her heart. Okay, now, Just Jump is the Amy Vanderbilt's Everyday Guide to Etiquette from 1957. Mr. Olson chooses and selects at random questions for the panel.
Excellent.
Okay. And we try and come together on what Miss Vanderbilt said was the correct answer. So, Dennis?
Okay. When friends and guests come to your home to spend the evening watching television or playing cards, is it expected of the host or hostess to serve refreshments?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely. Of course. You got to serve refreshments.
Something, a cheese platter, you know.
Something to nibble on.
It is usual to offer something informally, so long as the serving of these things don't interrupt the viewing or the card playing. On certain occasions, a late supper is served.
Now, see, remember, that was back in the day when a program was run once and you came to watch it on a huge television.
And when they wore opera gloves.
Yeah. And people sat around.
And poils.
I remember my parents having comedy album parties, like Bill Cosby's albums or Andy Griffith's albums or Lily Tom.
Cute.
You know, and the neighbors would come around and they'd drink and smoke cigarettes and sit around in the living room and listen
Clean
to
glasses.
These albums and laugh their asses off. Okay, another question, please.
Is it all right to use informals in giving thanks for a wedding present?
Giving informals?
Is it all right to use informals?
No.
In giving thanks for a wedding present?
No.
What does that mean? Like, instead of saying Mr. and Mrs., saying...
I'm thinking it means a written response.
No, you've got to actually write down...
Right.
Right. It's a formal
thank you card.
Right, a thank you. Hello. Thank you. You came to my wedding. You came. You gave me a present. Thank you. Appreciate it. Later.
Hope you can read my handwriting.
I really enjoy that anything formal is inherently British.
What is your answer?
I have to do
yes
it.
Or no?
I forget how the question was phrased.
Is it all right to use informals?
No,
in giving thanks for a wedding present.
It has to be formal.
Yeah.
It has to absolutely be formal.
Yes.
Yes, it is okay?
Yes, so long as there is no greeting that substitutes for the written words of thanks, and in the informal is conservative and of a good quality paper. It should be sent, of course, first class sealed.
The informal is the means of thanks. Whether, you know, like if you want to write it on a piece of paper, instead of getting a card that says, you know, and put it in a little thank you, to write it on a piece of paper and stick it in an envelope is okay.
Right.
As long as it's nice stationery. You can write it like on a piece of legal pad.
First class. And in a sealed envelope.
First class. Okay, what's that? I don't mail.
There was a time. When you could send something first class or air mail, you know, air freight or whatever, was first class, it would get there sooner. It was a more expensive stamp.
Very cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And
first
class on the way, girl. Not like these, not like these forever stamps now, because you need to buy them because forever the postal rates keep going up.
Yeah, forever.
And I support my local my post office.
Oh, I don't understand all of that. That's crazy.
Yeah, you never mail, see, because you kids are always sending an e-card or an e-vite.
I don't got time. I got three kids. Yeah, you know.
No one's got time for that.
You can dial a phone. No. Okay, next.
When you are writing to a woman in business and you don't know whether she is a Mrs. or a Miss, what do you do?
That's a good question, because Ms. wasn't introduced until the late 70s.
Oh, ooh, interesting. Or,
you caught that one.
Yeah. So
this is a very dated question.
You say, yes, hey, it is. You, what's going on?
Yeah. Over the back
fence. In 1957?
Because I feel like now, hey, actually, regardless of anyone's marital status, you would say Miss.
I would say, back then, I would say Miss.
I use the person's name.
But if it's a formal business letter, like if it's 1957 and you would be, of course, a secretary. And
A woman in business.
But it would be like Miss Sonda.
So I think back in the 1957s, right?
Mm-hmm. 1957.
All right. So what you would do is you would assume that the person was freaking married. All right? You can't assume they're not.
But that's the question. You got to
telling you, you got to assume it's a Mrs.
No,
or Mr.
It's Miss, because if you say Mrs., it's like senorita or senora.
How do we get Spanish?
Somebody's going to end up being insulted. So what's the answer?
So it's a Miss.
We don't know.
I would err on the side of Miss.
Yes, thank you.
See, I don't know all these things.
Two Miss, one Mrs.
I mean, we could be wrong.
You address her as Miss. When you receive a letter signed Ann Smith with no Miss in front of it, you assume that she is a Miss. If she is a Mrs., she properly places beneath her name in parentheses the information, Mrs. John Smith.
You were just a little
misguided. For the guidance of those wishing to write her.
All right, cool.
So do we have time for one more thing? She's a Mrs. back then.
Well, if she's with me, she ain't no freaking Mrs.
My mother went through this, and I wasn't even born yet.
I love that when people say I wasn't even born yet, because believe me, I say the same thing, suckers. The first time somebody calls you ma'am or sir, it's downhill from there. Which ma'am or sir is really a polite way to do it, too. I've had people that are like, at the bar, I'm like, well, pardon me, ma'am. Yeah. And people have jumped up and said, don't call me ma'am. And I'm like, well, do you prefer bitch? But it's
obviously.
Some people probably do.
She just asserted that.
Okay, we have time for one more question.
One more? Okay. Is it correct to send out invitations written in pencil or typed out over the hostess's name?
What, read that again. Is it acceptable?
Is it correct,
to
send out invitations written in pencil or typed out over the hostess's name?
No.
No.
That's crazy. You can't.
No,
do that.
It is not.
That's not right.
When invitations are sent, they should be handwritten, engraved, or under certain circumstances printed.
Exactly.
Ink should be used.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, because now everybody sends an e-vite. Which probably is why I'm always like the last, because I always forget how to evite it, return it. And then they're like, what are you doing here?
That's crazy. I was evited.
I was evited. I had a woman say that to me at a party in Nashville once.
I know the owner.
I was estranged from this. I was estranged from this local group of yuppies, we called them at the time. And the hostess invited me to the party, and this woman walked right up to me in the middle of the room. She goes, what are you doing here? And I said loudly, I was invited. She was like, because I like to make a scene wherever I go.
Nah, I just shot out the window.
I got to say one more thing, because we're going to have to wrap it up here soon, but I wanted to tell you the story about when that thing fell on your head.
Yeah.
I used to have my little white convertible, Sammy, that you listen to. 30 years ago, I had one just like it, except it was mink brown. And I was sitting at a traffic light one day, and I had the top down, and I stretched, and I'll never forget, I was yawning like this, and I felt something go... Okay, and a bird pooped. Thank God I had my eyes closed, and a bird pooped on my eyelid between my glasses and my eye.
Oh my God.
And I went like this, and I took it off. And of course, you go like this, and you could smell it immediately.
Ew.
And I was like, and with my good eye, the woman in the Volvo in front of me was going, because she saw the whole thing in a rearview mirror.
It's like you got schmear on your eye.
You got schmutz.
Disgusting.
I had a pelican. Well, we went on to Daytona Beach in 1979 when I was senior class favorite. Like 15 of us went to Daytona Beach, and I walked out with Ann Richardson, and we walked out onto the terrace at the Texan Hotel in Daytona Beach, and we're leaning, and like, we had been there all of 5 minutes, and a seagull crapped on my shoulder. So of course we were there for 10 days. So it was the first thing that I shoved in my laundry bag. And I'll never forget, we come home and we're all sunburned and everything like that. And the first thing my mother says is, "Welcome home. I love you. Give me your laundry." And I'm sitting out in the patio talking to my dad or somebody, and I hear my mom go, "Whoa!" Because she got to the bottom of that 10-day-old seagull poop. We had to get out the smelling salts to wake her up.
Oh, my God.
Well, we have come to that time, ladies and gentlemen, where it's time to say goodbye on The Bob Dean Show. Yay. I want to thank Jenny
and Alex.
Shamash. And Alexandra and Dennis Olson and Sammy Genio, well, for being here. Remember, you can call us at 323-300-4092. Somebody call us, even if you just say, beep you, Bob Dean. let's see what else. You can follow us on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Please follow us on iTunes. Download us on iTunes, follow us on iHeartRadio, and listen on Stitcher, Stitcher. My website, thebobdeanshow.com. I believe we're a few episodes behind. The Bob Dean Show, excuse me, bobthesurlycomic.com. And please tell your friends. And what else? Anything else anybody
on? YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah, you can watch us on YouTube. Thanks to Sammy Junio and her high-tech devices. Yay, Sammy. Yay. And I'm trying to think. I don't have any upcoming shows. La, 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 la. I guess anything else y'all want to say? Say hello to anybody or goodbye?
Just want to say thank you to everybody, and thank you to you having me here. That was awesome.
Anytime.
Thanks all around.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Thank you all very, very much, and we love you, and we're out.